Our official attorney of the Two Guys Named Chris Show is Lisa Lanier. Rock92.com, keyword Lisa to find her, or LanierLawGroup.com. Welcome back to the Two Guys Named Chris Show. The segment is called Lawyer Up, and our official attorney, Lisa Lanier, is here. Three good stories from the world of law, and she's with us today. Good morning, Lisa. How you doing?
Hey, I'm fantastic. I hope you guys are.
Doing well. A couple of weeks ago, you said that when you meet Two Guys Named Chris P1 listeners, they ask you, what are you wearing when you do these reports? And last week, you described to us that you were wearing pajamas, and even still you got flack, people saying you need to describe the pajamas you are wearing.
Yeah, this is it's getting a little weird.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say. So,
I don't think the voice was right there. I think how you should have said it was, please describe the pajamas that you are wearing.
What are you wearing?
A little deeper breath here.
What are you wearing today, Lisa?
Well, today I'm actually a little bit ahead of the getting ready to go to work thing. I'm wearing like a pencil skirt, sort of black and white patterned, and black silk cami, and I will throw on a black cardigan here before I walk out the door.
Okay, all right. I think people will be disappointed it's not pajamas, but it's more professional.
It's not pajamas,
today. A little later today. She's ready to go. She's got an earlier meeting today. It's interesting.
Exactly.
You have a real up-close and personal connection to this first story. It comes from Ohio State University. There's a football player there named Noah Spence, suspended for 3 games, including the Orange Bowl. His father, Greg, says Noah tested positive for a small amount of ecstasy. Now, everybody gets tested prior to the Big Ten championship game, and his family and he say they were shocked when the drug test came back positive. Apparently, Spence unintentionally took the drug when he was given an open drink by people he didn't know at a party, so they are suing the Big Ten for suspending him, and they've gotten the suspension reduced. It was going to be all of next season, it appears. What is your connection to this, Lisa?
Well, so when I was in law school, I had a bartender slip some ecstasy in a drink and give it to me, and it was an amazingly bizarre experience, but luckily I had a friend who was with me who, he did not drink, and he kind of intervened because, I mean, it hits you, and your senses are, like, on fire, and, you know, you're especially, like, sensual senses, and so this bartender had it timed perfectly where, and we were regulars in this bar in law school, and this guy had been, apparently he'd done it to other women as well, but he had it timed where he had an early shift, so he was like, he gives me this drink, and then the next thing I know, he's sitting beside me on the bar stool, and I'm just, you know, tripping. So it was like,
Wow.
Yeah.
That, you know, I don't do drugs.
No.
At all.
But he's dying to. I don't know if you've had conversations with him, Lisa.
But I think if I could do one, I think ecstasy would be the one I would take because I hear just how great it is. But you said you were obviously given it without your knowledge, and it really does make you go crazy sexually, right?
Yeah, you know, and it's weird. It's sensually. It's like a sensory thing. It's not even just sexually. It's like the music sounds better, and the lighting looks better, and, you know, people's skin, you know, everything. It's like everything feels incredible. It's bizarre.
Wow.
It would probably be really fun to do it with somebody you were really into, but like this creepy bartender, not so much.
Yeah. Did he get arrested? I mean, my God, that's pretty rough.
You know what? He got fired. He actually admitted to having done it because I raised hell about it. I was like, you know, later, not that night. And that night I was just out of it. But,
right.
But he apparently admitted to it and he was fired. And I didn't press any charges or anything. I was like, well, he got fired.
Yeah.
You know, Lisa, you may not be aware of this, but with the NFL playoffs approaching this weekend, Chris Kelly and his boys are going to be getting together to play a little spades. Mm-hmm. I'm asking anyone in the sound of our voices to please bring over some ecstasy so Kelly can dose. you and the boys can all get dosed up and eat your pizza and play cards and watch football.
The football.
You'll never find a safer environment.
That's true.
That could get really ugly. You know?
That's true. So I guess we're talking to any pizza delivery guy in the sound of our voice because you'll be the one.
You'll be the most likely delivery person. You will have access to the home.
Just sprinkle it over the pizza. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all we're looking for.
Like Parmesan cheese?
Yeah, like put a little Parmesan cheese on it. Exactly.
Exactly. A little ecstasy with your pizza.
How do you prove, though? How does this kid prove that somebody put it in his drink at a party? Are they going to be successful in their lawsuit here, Lisa?
Well, that's the problem is, you know, with this football player, there's the NCAA is following the international anti-doping policy, I think, which is just zero tolerance because it's super easy for any of these athletes to say that they were accidentally dosed. And it happens all the time. I mean, they say that, you know, a personal trainer gave them a supplement. They didn't know it had a performance-enhancing drug in it. And I don't think this kid really had a lot of proof that this was an accidental ingestion of the drug. And, in fact, I think the reason that they dropped from a complete year of suspension to just three games had more to do with the type of drug that it was, because ecstasy apparently has been ruled to be not a performance-enhancing drug but just a stimulant. And the league takes a much more serious hard line against the performance-enhancing drugs than they do recreational drugs, which
right.
I think is a little weird.
Right.
But anyway, I think that's why they dropped it. And unless he has proof that he really didn't intend to take this drug, and it didn't sound like he had a lot of that, then he's going to have some difficulty.
Yeah, he's in trouble. He's going to have to serve the suspension. Would you, now you've done ecstasy without your knowledge.
Right.
Would you consider it a performance-enhancing drug based on your knowledge of it?
Oh, you know, I would not think so. I would not imagine that there would be anything about that that would enhance your athletic performance.
Are we going to have to suspend?
What about your dancing performance?
How was your dancing that night? Was it good?
Well, my dancing was fabulous that night, yeah.
Do we need to suspend you from three Lawyer Up segments here?
Exactly.
Are we going to have to go three Fridays without talking
might.
To you?
Exactly.
We had no idea, Lisa. My goodness. The next story. Now, I have never been a lawyer. I dabbled in the law and considered it, as you know, as a career.
Yeah, you almost went to law school.
Very, very close to it. I had a couple of pamphlets on law school and considered it. But this is how I would handle this. Now, a bank robber, an alleged bank robber in California, went into a Wells Fargo 9:45 Monday morning, approached the teller, handed her a note. She could not read the note. It was a stick-up, hold-up note, apparently. She went to get her manager because she couldn't read it. She couldn't make heads or tails of it. Neither could the manager. So they were looking at it and not sure what was going on. The guy left the bank. They called the police, assuming it was a hold-up note, and they picked him up just a couple hours later and arrested him for an attempted bank robbery. If I was the defense attorney here, I would say, if you can't read it, how do you know it's a hold-up note? Maybe it says, I want to open an account here. It's unreadable. Is that good legal strategy? Will it work?
It's great legal strategy. And, in fact, one of the elements of a robbery is typically force or intimidation. And here, this guy was obviously very mild-mannered. He slipped a note that was illegible. And there's no indication whatsoever that there was any perception on the part of the bank teller of force or intimidation. And they had to figure it out. Like, they had to decipher this note and figure it out later. And I think he's got a great shot at saying, you know, there was no communication in this note. It was so unintelligible. There was no communication at all in the note.
I think that's exactly what they should say, and I think he'll get away with this. Unfortunately, he had other outstanding warrants, so they got him on that. But at least bank robbery won't be part of it, in my opinion.
No, I don't think so. I think he's fortunate that he was so dumb.
Yeah. Such a bad writer, such bad penmanship, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Final story today, and it's quick. A Colorado baker refused to make a cake for a gay couple, has been given an ultimatum by a judge. Serve gay weddings or face fines. You have to serve gay weddings in the state of Colorado. You have to make it. I'm confused by that. I thought there was no protection for sexuality, and you didn't have to serve if you didn't want to. But I'm wrong on that, correct?
That's right. Most states do not have, and you would be correct in most jurisdictions. Most states do not have that kind of protection. But some states, and even in some situations, some cities, have human rights laws that include sexual orientation. And that's the case in Colorado. There's a human rights law that applies here. And so the judge is absolutely in the right here. But here's what I'm thinking. If you're the gay couple and this man is forced to cater your wedding, do you want to eat that food?
No, because no.
You know he's going to fill it with hawkers.
Right.
He's going to be wiping the utensils on his butt. And
you're right.
Out there.
You're right.
No way. If I'm a guest at that wedding, no way am I eating that food.
No. If I knew about this, I wouldn't be eating the food. I'd move on to a new caterer. You're exactly right. The guy's name's Jack Phillips. He did not want to cater it. He owns the Masterpiece Cake Shop in Denver. They told him, you have to, at least in Colorado. I thought that is not the case everywhere. It is in Colorado. Lisa clears that up for us. That's why she's our official attorney, Lisa Lanier. We learned a lot about her today. She got a nice pantsuit on, and she did ecstasy one time when the bartender put X in her drink. Wow.
Without my knowledge and consent.
Without her knowledge and consent. You ought to throw the book at that guy. I wonder what he's doing today. Probably doing time.
Okay, you know what? No, actually, this is really kind of funny. I don't usually go to those quick lube kind of places like Jiffy Lube, but I had to in a pinch one time, and he was the guy changing my oil.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What'd he slip in your engine? Good Lord.
Exactly. Trying to fiddle with my engine again.
Yeah.